thank you so much. I appreciate your spirit. Would you be seated just a moment, please? Ushers, if you're at the doors and could hear me, would you please come to those doors? I want to be sure that everybody got a handout this morning. If you did not get one of these, ushers, if you could help us real quickly. Are there some ushers back there? I don't see any. If somebody act as an usher and go back there and be sure we've got these sheets. We want to be sure that everybody in the room has one. If for some reason you did not get one of these on the way in, would you just raise your hand in a minute? Ushers are coming over here. We're trying to find an usher over here. Here they come. If you did not get one of these, hold up your hand, please, and they'll get you one. Just be real patient. They're coming, all right? This morning, what I want us to do is have the opportunity, keep your hands up because they're coming now and they'll be able to help you. What I want us to be able to do this morning is just spend some time with the Lord in prayer. More and more, I see people who are burdened for a lot of things, some because of physical illness or friends that have illness. Recently, job losses in our city again. We are in a nation that continually has difficulty and struggling with all kinds of things. Our country, our world is in disarray. In fact, we have four of our men this week, Mark Davidson, Joe Patbon, Larry Wilkinson, and Kevin Cottrell. They're on their way to Belgium, to Brussels. They can't fly into there because of the events that happened just a few days ago. They're going to fly to Paris, take a train to Brussels to visit with our church plant that's there, encourage the saints there, do what they can to help. We want to pray for them as they go. So there are many needs for which we need to pray. What I've done done this morning is simply give you a four-point outline. It begins with personal confession. If you'll turn to that side of the page, it has the top personal confession. Now, what we're going to do this morning is just what that says. We're going to take just a few minutes, each person on your own. You don't get with somebody. This is between you and God. But what we're going to do real quickly is just reflect on some of these verses, because we cannot be intercessors if we've got sin in our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. I can't go and pray for somebody else if there's sinful, unconfessed sin, willful sin in my own life. So we have to start first, as the priest did in the Old Testament, first offering a sacrifice for themselves. We come before God acknowledging the sacrifice of Jesus has been paid. But we can't pray for others if we're not right with God ourselves. So we're going to take just a moment, and literally maybe 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. You've got 5 scriptures there. I'm going to read one of them to us, and then I'm going to ask you to quietly have a time of prayer. We'll close the time of prayer when you hear Brother Kevin or somebody singing this morning, Amanda, somebody. When you hear them start singing, that'll close that portion of prayer, and then I'll lead you in the next portion. All right, let's look at Psalm 51 on your page, the last scripture of those five, and this sets the tone for personal confession. As you remember, Psalm 51 is a psalm David wrote following his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba, and he was hurting. Sin always creates great pain, not just for the person, but others are affected. And so David cries out in Psalm 51, "Oh God, have mercy on me. According to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." Now, as you think about David's prayer, maybe this is yours. "In your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what's evil in your sight." I'm going to ask you to take just a few minutes and quietly reflect on those other scriptures. You pray, and when you hear our group begin to sing, we'll go to the next session following that song. Let's pray together.
Sing with us.
Bibles, I invite you to open to Colossians just a moment. Colossians chapter 3. There's no greater joy for the believer than to spend time with our Heavenly Father. We so often spend the time in singing, and we certainly spend the time through preaching, but this morning we're just going to spend the time doing what our Lord Jesus requested. He said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer." We're going to begin praying now for the church, in a moment for the nation, and then for each other. If you'll look with me in Colossians chapter 3, Paul the Apostle, I think, gave us a marvelous mandate on praying for the church. Look with us, because it reminds us, look with me, as it reminds us what we are as God's people. Colossians 3, verse 12. "Therefore, chosen, God's chosen ones," isn't that good? "Of all the people of the earth, you who know Jesus Christ are the chosen of God. Therefore, God's chosen ones, you who are holy, loved, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, accepting one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive them. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and the peace of the Messiah," or the Christ, "to which you were also called in one body. May he control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, reaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I want to ask you in a moment to stand, and I'm asking you to get in circles of four, because you get bigger than that, you can't hear each other. You can't pray for one another if you don't know each other's names. So even though you think everybody knows each other's names, just for the practice of those around you, say, "Hello, my name is," and go around the circle and listen carefully so you can hear each other's name. And then what I want you to do is take this sheet, and I've given you there six things that I really hope we'll pray about in that circle. It may be that one of you in the circle will want to read those six for the benefit of the circle. It's hard to pray for these things if you don't know what these things are. So I'd encourage you, when you stand, once you give a name, somebody read those six. If you need a prompt for some scriptures on which to pray for the church, I've given you five that are there. We'll take 4, 5, 6 minutes to be together in a group and pray. Again, when you hear the music, that section of prayer has ceased. If you would just face this way, begin singing quietly with the leadership. Following that, we'll go to the next section. Would you please stand, get in groups of four, introduce yourselves, somebody read the six, and then pray for the church. Would you do that? Someone has written these words as a prayer to our Heavenly Father. I think they're very appropriate. I want to read them to you, and then I want us to pray. Oh God, forgive us. For sometimes we live as if you're not there by our failure to talk to you daily, by our deeds that are disobedient frequently, by our attitudes that are sometimes arrogant and our thoughts that are hateful toward others. Sometimes we act as if you're not there, for we've truly strayed like sheep. We've gone to our own way many times. We have violated your law daily. We've offended your holiness and failed to do what we should, and we're quick to do what we should not. Dear God, forgive us. Our sins are too heavy to carry anymore. They're too destructive to desire to continue. They're too obvious to hide and too many to correct and make right. Oh God, we stand in fear and in awe, for you are a just God. We're ashamed to speak of things we've done. Our guilt is a weight that's far too heavy to bear. We know what we deserve. We deserve the consuming fire of your judgment. But dear God, our Father, please forgive us for being wayward children. Cleanse us of sin and guilt that has stained us. Remove our transgressions far from us and bury them in your grace. Let us once again know the joy that comes from abiding in your mercy. And dear Father, please restore to us the light of our salvation through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come today because we're desperate. We don't come because we're casually interested to be with God. We need you so much. Your church across the world today is in disarray. Many are folding. Some have just given up. Others are discouraged and quitting. Some have taken paths that seek to please culture more than please Christ. We need the awakening touch of God. We need power from on high. And God, I pray that you who know the end from the beginning would send your authority to deal with us not as we deserve, for then none of us would be here. Your righteousness would consume us. Deal with us, we pray, not as we deserve, but according to your infinite mercy. We are sinful, and you know that very well. You created us, and you knew our frailty and our proclivity to sin from the moment you gave us life. We do not rejoice in our sinfulness. We repent. We rejoice in our Savior. And so, dear God, would you please deal with us today in acts of merciful kindness, by forgiving us one more time, by restoring to us joy, by filling us up with purpose, by empowering us with the Spirit of the Almighty, by enabling us to be priests unto God, ever interceding to the one who's ever interceding for us. Would you allow us to be prophetic in our declaration of truth and yet compassionate against those who are sinful? Would you let us be salty enough to make folks thirst for the living water and yet gracious enough to hand them a cup at a time till they're ready to digest all the water that they need for eternity? Father, you've been good to us. Today our church is gaining prominence because of a water tower of all things. I'm grateful we have a sign on the tower, but I'm more interested that we have the name of Jesus on our heart. While the world is looking, I pray we'll point them to Christ in our words spoken, things we write, things we say. Dear God, they're looking to say, how are you going to deal with issues when you are under the attack of a group that's atheistic? I pray like Christ, we'll love our enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use us and would find cause to be agitated against us. In these moments, may we most demonstrate that we know Jesus, but more than that, that you know and have saved us. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together, all right?
Let's stand.
You may be seated.
And all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence.
invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the Old Testament prophet of Hosea. Hosea chapter 14, as we prepare to pray for this nation, we want to be reminded even in the Old Testament, men of God were praying for God's people in Israel. Hosea concludes his book in Hosea 14 with a statement to God and a plea to statement from God the people in his plea for his people to repent. Look with me, Hosea chapter 14, the very last chapter, Hosea 14, beginning in verse 1. Hosea 14, 1 reads like this: Israel, and if we can just say that, people of God, return to the Lord your God. You've stumbled in your sin. Take words of repentance with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive us all our sin. And accept what is good so that we may repay you, in other words, for your goodness, with praise from our lips. Assyria, meaning all of our treaties with all the other nations, that's not the key. Our treaties with others will not save us. We will not ride on horses. In other words, it doesn't matter how strong is their infantry and cavalry, we're not strong enough to stand against the whole world. Their horses, we will not ride on horses. We will no longer proclaim, these are our gods, to the work of our hands. We'll deliver ourselves. We're not going to say that anymore. For the fatherless receive compassion in you. I will heal their apostasy, God said. I will freely love them when they confess, for my anger will have turned from them. Verse 7, the people will return and live beneath his shade. They will grow grain and blossoms like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Verse 9, let whoever's wise understand these things. Whoever's insightful, recognize them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. As we look at prayer for our nation, I've given you there 8 things, and that's a quick list. You have many others. But I've given you 8 things that are central today that I hope we'll pray about. And then I hope you'll look at those verses, perhaps as prayer prompts. I'm going to ask you to stand, get in your groups. Again, go through those. One person read the needs. Perhaps one or two of you read a verse or two and then pray. Then I'll pray, and Kevin is closing. We'll close our time in music. Would you stand, get in your groups to pray? And do that now. Our Heavenly Father, it must be a real delight to you on Sunday and each day to hear your people calling out to you in prayer. It must be a special delight when we gather in the very house set aside for prayer, when we use it for that purpose, and all over the room, voices are calling out to God our Father. Thank you that you're ever present. Thank you that you yearn to hear from your people. And thank you that you respond when we pray. We are very well aware our nation has thumbed its nose at you. We as a nation have determined we really don't want you in our public life. We don't want you in our politics. We determined a long time ago we didn't want you in the public square or the schools for our children. We've determined that we don't need God. How sad is that when we're going to find out how desperately we need him when the bottom falls out entirely and there's nowhere to turn? I'm grateful that in every generation, in every nation, you have a remnant. This morning in this place, a remnant of God's people have gathered. And God, we know that it doesn't take many to change the world. 11 men who were committed to the gospel took the gospel from Jerusalem and eventually to the ends of the earth as one touched one who touched one. And today we're in Oklahoma knowing the gospel that started in Israel 2,016 years ago. It doesn't take many. But if we as God's people would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, you promised you would forgive our sin if we turn from our wicked ways. And you would heal our land. Dear God, we're calling on you, please. In a year of presidential election, heal our land. In a time of strife and violence and disrespect of authority, heal our land. With all kinds of ethnic tensions and racial hatred and strife, dear God, please heal this land. Where children are taught as are treated as property to be traded to sex traffickers, dear God, heal this land. When our national industry's strongest moneymaker is pornography, dear God, please heal our land. When we have soldiers continuing to fight a battle around the world, and today I'm sure they're confused sometimes what they're fighting for when the liberties at home are eroding, and they're over there doing battle for us. Dear God, heal our land. We don't just need you a little bit. We need an invasion of the Almighty. So this morning, please, hear the prayers of your people. Heal our nation. Return us in an awakening and repentance to the God who made us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sounds their song. Glory.
remain standing. We're going to come to that last section of prayer, and this one's very personal. We began with personal confession. We prayed for the body of Christ, the church. We prayed for our nation. But some of you standing in this room this morning wear your masks very well. You come in and smile and you ask others, how are you doing? And in truth, when you're asked how you're doing, you just say fine and you keep walking. Nobody knows the burden of your heart many times. No one knows what another person's gone through this past week unless you cared to share it with others for prayer. We have some in our church that just recently been diagnosed with cancer. If that were me, I'd sure want the prayers of my church family. You're going to gather in circles with some who say, that's me. Some of you have been praying for a little 13-year-old boy named Traden Karch. If you've been praying for him, staying in touch with him, he's a miracle. He was in a car accident right at the entry of our church some weeks ago. Pretty severe head injury. He's done so well, and God truly has done a miracle. And he's now in Edmond in a rehab center learning how to do all those things he's got to do again. But yesterday, he and his dad played pitch in the yard at Edmond. God does hear prayer, and he answers those prayers. Some of you today would say, Brother Nick, it's just hard for me to even be here today. You just don't know what's on my mind. No, I don't, but I know somebody who does. And you may not have the time to go into great detail, but you may be able to say to your group, I have a need. And you may be open to what that need is. It's medical, it's financial, it's family. I mean, you don't have to be specific, but we're priests unto God. We're commanded to pray for one another. And so we're going to close this time of prayer in a circle of four with each person being able to share a need. If you got it, you got scriptures there to point you to prayer needs that are listed there. If nobody in your need circle has a specific need, you can list these. Somebody pray. And we're going to be wrapping up our service. You gather in fours, pray, and then we're going to wrap up in a minute. Would you do that? Mm-hmm.